Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks here in Branson, Missouri. If you were with us last week and even the week before, you know that on June 29th, as we were here in corporate prayer, we were praying and the Lord spoke to us. We reached a place in prayer that I don't know whether we had come there before, and we heard from the Lord this statement: "There is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election." We waited and heard what that one thing would be, and it came like this: "It is an awakening to God. There is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God." Then the Lord made us to know that in every great awakening, prayer played a primary part. He knew, and of course he knows everything, but he said to us regarding the meeting that's going on in Branson, October 23rd through 27, our annual prayer meeting, he began to speak to us about it and about how important it was that we were to prepare ourselves to be ready and to prepare the people who are coming. And I know that our prayers, and not only us, I'm sure many people everywhere, but our prayers that week are going to have something to do with an awakening of God, to God, an awakening to God in America. So I started to study about the Great Awakening. And I even went online. One was a lecture that was given from a university in Delaware, secular school. And they gave a lecture on the connection between the Great Awakening and the birth of the United States of America in the Great Revolution. They said that the American Revolution grew out of the Great Awakening. That was the impetus to it. So going online to a place called greatawakening.com, I got some information that I'll read to you. In the late 17th century England, fighting between religious and political groups ended with the Glorious Revolution of 1688, when the Church of England was established as the primary religion in the country. Other religions, Catholicism, Judaism, Puritanism, were then repressed. And we know that the Puritans came to America, and they came here sent by God because they felt called by God. And they left what was a terrible situation in England. Religion, and I'm reading again from the greatawakening.com, religion became a boring and cold pastime for people in England. Eventually, a reaction against the complacency developed into a new spiritualism or revivalism, where Christians would actually believe from the depths of their hearts during worship rather than just go through the motions during services. This new spiritual renewal began with people like the Wesley brothers and George Whitefield in England and crossed over to the American colonies during the first half of the 18th century. Reading again, what was the effect of this Great Awakening? The Great Awakening was a spiritual renewal that swept the American colonies, particularly New England, during the first half of the 18th century. It began in England before catching fire across the Atlantic. And the Awakening's biggest significance was the way it prepared America for its War of Independence. In the decades before the war, revivalism taught people that they could be bold when confronting religious authority, and that when churches weren't living up to the believers' expectations, the people could break off and form new ones. By 1775, even though the colonists did not all share the same theological beliefs, they did share a common vision of freedom from British control. Thus, the Great Awakening brought about a climate which made the American Revolution possible. Now, I went online and studied that. I got a book that I remember from, actually it was printed in 77, The Light and the Glory, co-authored by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. We had Peter Marshall on our program last week. And then another book, Revival Fire, by dwell. And I'm reading now from Revival Fire about when this thing started in England. You know, God starts things with people. People. The Great Awakening dawned through people. There was a time in America when we had Plymouth, we had the Pilgrims, then we had the Puritans, and then there was a time in America when things in America became cold, and people were busy settling America and busy building the frontier, and the place of God in fire and purpose had literally kind of disappeared from their thinking until what is known as the Great Awakening. Now remember, America was born, the Revolution, in 1776. In the early 1730s, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, the Wesley brothers, gathered several student friends into John Wesley's room at Lincoln College in Oxford University to earnestly seek to be holy. Membership ran never more than 10 to 15 or 25. After John Wesley left Oxford in 1735, the group disintegrated. This group was initially called, in derision, people made fun of them and called it the Holy Club. And sometimes they called them Bible Moths. Now I'm reading to you from Revival Fire by Duell. We're making this book available this week. These young men sought to live by stringent rules designed to help them achieve holiness. They examined themselves daily. They visited the sick and the prisoners. And they had these little rules they lived by, so much so that people call them Methodist. They had their methods of reaching God. John and Charles Wesley went to America to minister to the Indians and colonists, but they had very little success. They were, after a year and a half, they sailed back to England. Now, on that ship, they met some Moravians. The Moravians knew God in the new birth, and they ministered to the Wesley brothers. I have heard Brother Hagin say that he can't prove it, but he believes that it was from the Moravians that not until then were John and Charles Wesley born again. But on May 24, 1738, John Wesley received the assurance of sins forgiven and began to teach and preach instant salvation by faith. Not so much works anymore. In fact, not works at all, but by faith. Spiritually, in spite of Reformation 2 centuries before, the possibility of immediate salvation or of assurance of salvation was unheard of in the churches. When the Wesleys and Whitfield began to preach this doctrine, they were scorned and nearly excluded from the church, although they were ordained ministers of the Church of England. But this was now their burning message and testimony, and they proclaimed it far and wide. On New Year's Day, 1739, John and Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, and 4 other members of the Holy Club, plus about 60 other like-minded people, held a love feast in London at Fetters Lane. Quote, "About 3 in the morning, as we were continuing instant in prayer, the power of God came mightily upon us, insomuch that many cried out for exceeding joy, and many fell to the ground, overcome by the power of God. As soon as we recovered a little from that awe and amazement at the presence of His Majesty, we broke out with one voice, 'We praise Thee, O God. We acknowledge Thee to be the Lord.'" This event was called the Methodist Pentecost. 5 nights later, 8 of these Methodists prayed and discussed till the early morning hours and left with, quote, what came from their diaries, the conviction that God was about to do great things. Another night that week, a group of them met and spent the whole night in prayer. The next weekend, January 14, 1739, Whitfield was ordained. He spent the day before his ordination in prayer and fasting, praying on into the evening. Sunday morning, he arose early to pray. "When I went up to the altar, I could think of nothing but Samuel standing as a little child before the Lord. When the bishop laid his hand upon my head, my heart was melted down, and I offered my whole spirit and soul and body to the service of God's sanctuary. I read the gospel at the bishop's command with power. End quote. From that day on, Whitfield preached with great unction and power. He was only 22 years old, but wherever he spoke, crowds flocked to hear him. His rooms were filled with praying Oxford students. He wrote, quote, "I sleep very little. Had I 1,000 hands, I would employ them all. I want 1,000 tongues to praise him. He still works by me more and more." In the opening days of the Great Revival, it was Whitfield, more than John Wesley, who dared to innovate and lead. When Whitfield preached at Bermondsey Church in February 1739, the crowd was so great that even the churchyard was filled. God led Whitfield to go outdoors to preach. In his clerical gown, Whitfield preached his first open-air sermon to a congregation of 200 and launched a new day in gospel history. Crowds swelled day by day until some 20,000 people would gather. Some of the wealthy sat in coaches and others on horseback. Some sat in trees, and everywhere people crowded the ground to hear Whitfield preach. At times, all were moved to tears as the Spirit of God gripped them. Within 6 weeks, John Wesley took his place at Whitfield's side. As a high churchman of the Church of England, Wesley had many prejudices to overcome. On the second day of preaching, Wesley's message was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So, with three men, the Wesley brothers, George Whitfield, and the Holy Club, the seeds of what would change and birth the United States of America were planted and born in their dedicated hearts. We're going to be talking about this tomorrow. I'm going to be reading to you from this book, Revival Fire by Duell. We're offering it to you. It normally sells for $15. We're going to offer it this week for $10. And if we have any left, you can get The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. This is for $5. There are only 100 of these books left. Peter Marshall made them available to us. And so they may be gone by now, but you could go online and look for The Light and the Glory and read about the Great Awakening. I'm going to be reading to you from that book later on this week. Our prayer meeting, Branson, Missouri, The Great Awakening. We're expecting God. We call it the Autumn Assembly of Prayer, but we're looking that we'll be able to be a part of praying in America's awakening to God. Oh, saints, how we do need it. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow.